The Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorite. It could happen to you.
Book 89, page 754.
In the Diary of Fate.
Yes, here it is. The name Paul Reese. Occupation, sports reporter. Yes, Paul, journalism once fascinated you. But after a few years, newspaper reporting had become for you nothing more than a hard, tiresome, poor-paying job. A job that forced you to deal constantly with men of wealth, fame, and power, and yet never permitted you actually to ascend to their level as an equal. That feeling caused you to choose for evil. And then fate intervened. And in your life, a little thing happened. You forgot your fight. And because of that little thing, in a matter of minutes, you will be dead. You yourself have uttered the words of your death sentence. In a moment, I will write again under the name Paul Reese. When I have written, I will read from The Diary of Fate. Record of Paul Reese now lies open before me. And for a brief moment, I, fate, look ahead to an instant of crises in his numbered days.
I understand perfectly, you rat.
Paul, wait a minute, let me explain. Paul, put down that book in. Paul,
Yes, Paul. In that instant, I, fate, fashioned the final link in the chain of circumstances that soon will result in your death. It is truly said that trifles are the sum of life. But it is also true that trifles may add up to the end of life. It is ever thus. A bus missed by seconds. A door left ajar. A fuse blown out. Trivia? Yes. And yet in my hands, these little things become immeasurably important. You see, they are the tools with which I, fate, who am but the instrument of a plan, shape your destiny. Remember, Paul, how it all started? You had finished dinner in your fiancée's apartment. And you and Carol were finishing up the dishes.
Oh, Paul, be careful. You'll chip the plate.
Ah, no, I won't, honey.
Oh, Mr. Reese, after we're married and have our own dishes, things are going to be different.
Oh, yeah? By that time, Carol, we'll be too old to care.
If you weren't so stubborn, we could be married next week.
No, honey, you know perfectly well how I feel.
Yes. You just don't think we have enough money.
That's right, we don't have. My chances of ever having enough as a sports reporter are slim. Very slim.
But you're wrong, Paul. I'm perfectly willing to keep on working. In fact, I want to, and my cashier's salary added to yours.
Now, wait a minute, Carol.
Paul, I love you, and I want to be married to you just as soon as possible. Why, plenty of young couples get married on a lot less than we're making.
Now, listen, Carol. Someday I'm going to get a break. When it comes, I intend to be in a position to grab it. That's the time to talk about marriage, and not before.
All right, Paul. All right.
That's better, baby. Look, honey, how would you like to see that new Nat Finston musical at the Orpheum, huh?
We can't afford that.
Well, I'll call the paper and see if I can get a couple of Annie Oakley.
Fine, that's a part of your job you should appreciate.
Hello? Give me the city desk. Oh, hi, Charlie, this is Reese. Hey, listen, have you got a couple of... What? Oh, but I'm off now. I'm at my girl's house. Well, I don't care if he is sick. But Charlie... All right, where is it? Oak Ridge Terrace. Yeah, okay.
What's the matter, Paul?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, but a guy on the night beat is sick. There's a hot suicide out in Oak Ridge. I gotta cover it.
Oh, Paul.
Well, you see, that's what I mean about this job. Some rich babe blows her brains out and everybody gets all excited. Well, if I finish in time, I'll call you. Hello, give me a desk. Oh, Charlie, this is Reese. Listen, I've been all over this district and there's nothing going on. Absolutely nothing. That suicide tip was a complete phony. Yeah, they're having a great, big, thrilling, four-handed bridge party at the address you gave me. Yeah, that's what you lost up my entire evening for. Skip it. It's too late.
You were angry when you slammed out of the telephone booth and strode to your car. But then fate intervened, and a little thing happened. You fumbled through your pocket for your pipe, but it was not there. You had left it in the telephone booth. So you returned to the drugstore and walked back to the booth. But the door was closed now, and a man sat inside. You stepped close and looked in. Yes, your pipe was there, on the shelf beneath the telephone. You started to move away when the man's voice filtered to you through the door.
It's a perfect frame, I tell you. Fine. Supposed to send the money to your place by messenger Saturday night at 8. Yeah. $50,000, officer. Huh? Oh, yeah, he knows your new place. 711 Ardmore, right? Goodbye, officer.
Yes, Paul, because of a little thing. Because you forgot your pipe, you overheard a man talking on the telephone. The conversation meant nothing to you, but yours was a reporter's brain, and unconsciously the salient facts were filed away in your memory. The next morning you were making the rounds of your sports beat, and you stopped at the office of Rocky Nelson, fight manager.
Oh, sure, Reese, sure. My boy's in the pinker condition. He's a 3-1 favorite already, you know. So if you want to make some easy scratch on the side...
No thanks, Rocky. It's still a big gamble no matter what you say. Anything can happen in the ring.
You know, Reese, you're a smart boy. You know, just between you and me, I never bet on a fighter. Never had anything to do with gambling. Rocky Nelson? Huh? Oh, the phonograph. No, that's not for the office. That should be delivered at my house. Yeah, that's right. 711 Ardmore. It's a new place. Yeah, okay.
Oh, you moved into a new place, huh, Rocky?
Yeah, but I don't like it much. Gonna get me a farm out of town. Been in this racket a long time, and I'm getting tired. One of these days, I'm gonna retire.
Yeah, we all say that.
Only I'm gonna do it.
Yes, Paul, as you left the office, something about the interview troubled you. Then suddenly it hit you. Rocky's address. It was the same one you had heard the man in the telephone booth mention. Now your brain began to work. Soon you would remember almost all of that sketchy conversation. $50,000 to be delivered by messenger Saturday night at 8, to Rocky's address. But the name mentioned was Arthur. Then, on an inspiration, you called Rocky.
Oh, this is Reese again, Rocky. Say, that new place of yours on Ardmore, got any vacancies in it?
It's not an apartment house, Reese. It's a cottage.
Oh, I see. Well, and one other thing, Rocky, while you're on the wire. What's your real name, your first name? I want to do a feature on you, you see. And
Your name? Sir, Arthur Nelson.
Oh.
I don't care for it. I like Rocky.
Arthur, huh? That's just what I expected.
What do you mean?
I mean, Arthur, that you and I'd better get together and discuss a little business proposition. Something about the fight Saturday and the arrangements that have been made.
What? What do you know about that, Reese?
I'll meet you in 30 minutes at the Pelican Club. And don't be late, Rocky. Never mind how I found out, Rocky. I know. I know the whole setup. Your boy Biff is 3-1 to win, but he's going to lose. He's going to take a dive for which you are to be paid off at your house Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
All right, it's a fix. So now what are you going to do, Mr. Wise Guy Reporter?
Well, that's up to you.
Okay, $5,000.
Come on, Rocky, come on.
You dirty chiseler. Okay, I'll go 10.
Well, get this straight, Rocky. We're not playing marbles. You're getting $50,000. I want half.
Why, you cheap two-bit reporter.
Come on, let's have an answer, Rocky, and fast, or I'll do a story on you that'll blow you sky high.
Okay, okay, you win. I'll split with you 50-50.
Yes, Paul, because of a little thing. Because you forgot your pipe, you had an opportunity. You had discovered a gambling conspiracy. And you decided to sell your silence for $25,000. But even that was not enough. The odds of 3-1 were there. And there was no doubt of the winner. It was too appealing to you to be ignored. Somewhere you had to find money to wager. And then you remembered Carol and her position as cashier.
Carol, how many times do I have to tell you? This is not a gamble. It's a sure thing.
I don't care, Paul. If we use that $5,000 from the store, we'll be stealing it.
Yeah, but nobody ever has to know, honey. Look, Saturday you take the cash as usual. Only you're too late to make the deposit at the bank, see? So you take it home. We borrow it just for Saturday night. And by Monday morning, you can make the deposit, and we've got $15,000 for ourselves. And nobody's the wiser.
Oh, Paul, it's wrong. I don't know why.
Oh, Carol, honey, listen to me. I told you that someday I'd get a break. Well, this is it, and I intend to ride it out to the limit. You want to get married, don't you?
Oh, of course. You know I do.
All right. And bring that $5,000 to me Saturday afternoon.
Very well. I'll do it, Paul.
Now another link was added to the chain of circumstances closing above you. Now there could be no turning back. You would follow the road of your choice to its inevitable end. And soon, I will read again from your record in The Diary of Fate. An evil choice can lead only to ordained destruction. But you, Paul Reese, were not thinking of that. As you sat near the window of your room the next afternoon and stared vacantly at the rain falling on the deserted streets below. It was almost 1 o'clock when Carol arrived with the $5,000.
Oh, Paul, I'm worried.
Stop worrying, Carol. Now, you just sit down and relax while I call Rocky and see about placing this money. Just think about Monday and the $15,000 this $5,000 will bring.
Rocky Nelson.
This is Paul, Rocky. I want to place a little folding money on the fight tonight. Can you take care of it for me?
How much, Paul?
Well, it's $5,000. Exactly $5,000.
$5,000, huh? Yeah, I think I can have it for you, all right. Jay, be at my office at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay, Rocky, I'll be there. So long. Carol, we're all set. Rocky will take care of everything.
Yes, Paul. Rocky would take care of everything. In his way. For only an hour later, he stood in the rain and talked to an underworld character. Yes, Rocky was taking care of everything. Even your death.
So this is my proposition, Tony.
Yeah?
You get rid of this Paul Reese, and I'll make it worth your while.
What's the price, Rocky?
$5,000. Exactly $5,000.
Yeah. You sure this guy won't give me any trouble?
No, he's just...
You sure he isn't somebody big?
No, no, he's just a punk newspaper kid. Now, what do you say?
I say okay.
Fine. Now, here's the setup.
Yeah.
Reese will be at my office at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'll get him out of there by 3:15. You'll be downstairs in your truck.
Yeah, in my truck. It's raining, three steps from the curb, then there's an accident. Yeah, I like that.
All right, honey. Pull in and park over here.
Yeah, I thought Rocky's office was on 3rd Avenue.
It is. You wait over there across the street in that drugstore, eh? I'll only be a few minutes.
All right, darling, but please be careful. For me, Paul.
Oh, for the love of Mike, Carol. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing.
Come in.
Hello, Rocky.
Hello, Paul. How's it go?
Oh, fine, fine, Rocky, fine. Everything all set?
Yeah, I'm in great shape.
Ah.
You got the dough with you?
Yeah, right here. $5,000. And thanks for the deal, Rocky.
Skip it, kid. I figure business is business. You got the drop on me, and that's all there is to it. Besides, things will even out in the long run.
At 3:15, Rocky was suddenly busy, and you left the office. But you were unmindful of the downpour as you walked toward the corner drugstore in Carroll. You were also unmindful of a heavy truck parallel to you on the opposite side of the street. And in a moment, you were at the corner, and you stepped from the curb.
Hey, you stupid jerk!
Oh, God, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Oh, that crazy driver, why, he might have killed you.
Carroll... That was no accident.
What? What are you saying, Paul?
Somebody wanted to kill me, and I've got a good idea who it was. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yes, Paul Reese. You had been marked for death, and you knew that it was Rocky who was responsible. You went to his office at once, but he was gone. Then you drove hurriedly with Carol to his home on Ardmore Drive. You left Carol in the car and walked with determined stride to the door and rang the bell.
Paul.
Yeah. Paul. You surprised?
What are you doing here? I just left you.
Yeah, you just left me for dead. 2 minutes after I stepped out of your office, a truck missed killing me by inches.
Now, wait a minute, Reese. I had nothing to do with that truck. I swear it.
You're a liar.
Paul, I had nothing to do with that accident. Now, listen to
me. No, you listen to me. I wasn't born yesterday, Rocky. When I learned about this deal and moved in, I knew there was one thing wrong with my plan. You could kill me or have it done. And you wouldn't have to make any split.
Why would I wait so long?
Because there was an extra $5,000 for you that way. The $5,000 I gave you this afternoon. But get this. I've covered myself, Rocky.
What do you mean?
Out of your reach, there's a letter which goes to my managing editor in case of my death.
A letter? What kind of a letter?
Well, it's not a bread and butter note, Rocky. It's a detailed explanation of this whole dirty frame, and it names you. Understand? What? You.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You're not trying to pull a fast double cross, are you?
Don't be stupid. I want one thing, Rocky. I want money.
Then you'll get it. Look, nothing has changed. Nothing at all. A messenger will be here at 8. Sooner if you want. With the 50,000 and you'll get your half in. The fight will come off at 10 and Biff will lose. Tomorrow you get 15 grand for the money you bet this afternoon.
All right. That makes sense, Rocky. Just make sure it stays that way.
Don't worry, Paul. It will. I swear it.
No, Paul. The arrangement would not be changed. You were pleased with yourself as you left Rocky's house and walked toward the car and Carol. But as you neared the automobile, a sudden wave of panic darted through you. Carol was gone.
What? Carol! Carol!
Paul! Paul, here I am.
Oh, thank goodness. For a moment, I thought Rocky might... Where have you been?
Paul, Mr. Fitzgerald is going to be at my house at 8 o'clock to pick up the $5,000.
What?
Well, I just talked to him on the phone. He discovered a mistake on the bank deposit slip after I left the office this morning. I told him that I was late in getting to the bank and took the money home.
What did he say?
Oh, he was glad, but of all the luck, he needs the money now. A shipment of furniture came in late this afternoon.
But why did you call him?
Oh, I got nervous thinking about the money, and I called my place. The boy at the desk said that Mr. Fitzgerald had been trying to reach me, so I called him. Oh, Paul, what are we going to do? If we don't get that money back, why, it means prison for both of us, Paul.
Wait a minute. Sure. Sure, I've got it. We'll have the money there on time.
Oh, how?
Well, I'll go back to Rocky now, see? And I'll get him to move the delivery of the money up to 7 o'clock. That gives us an hour to get to your place.
Oh, Paul, will it work all right?
Yes, Carol. It'll work. I'm positive.
Yes, Paul, your plan would work. There was no doubt of that in your mind. And as you walked back to Rocky's door, a smile of self-satisfaction crossed your face as you thought once again of the wealth that would be yours in a matter of hours. But take heed, you who listen, lest you think that I, Fate, am a conspirator in evil, an accomplice in crime. For in a few moments, I will write again in the record of Paul Reese. And when I have written, I will read from the Diary of Fate. And schemed for was only hours away, Paul. But as you walked back to the door of Rocky's house, another little thing happened. Your shoelace came untied, and you stopped to tie it. A moment later, you were going to ring the bell when you noticed the door was still ajar. You stepped into the house and were about to call out to Rocky when you heard his voice in the next room.
No, operator. I want Long Branch 3352. Yes, that's right, 3352. Hello, you, is that you, Tony? Look, this is Rocky. Now listen, the deal's off. Forget about the money. I'm in a jam and I can't go through with it, that's all. Yeah, I'll call you up if plans are changed. Okay. So long.
Will you call me too, Rocky?
What? Paul, what are you doing here?
You dirty double-crosser. You can't call this thing off now. I've got to have that money.
Paul, wait. Paul, you don't understand. Now, wait.
I understand perfectly, you rat.
No, Paul, you don't. You don't. Paul, let me explain. Paul, put down that bucket. Paul!
You filthy scum. Are you? Rocky. Rocky.
Dead.
Well, you had it coming to you. Still got time.
Operator,
I want Long Branch 3352.
3352?
Yes. Hurry up, please.
Your number, please.
Walker, 7437.
Thank you.
Hello. Is this you, Tony?
Yeah. Tavier, who's this?
Well, I'm calling for Rocky. Huh? Look, the deal is on again, Tony.
On again? The price is the same?
Oh, sure. The price is just the same. But Rocky wants you to move the time up. Make it just as soon as you can.
Okay. Where do I deliver the goods?
Well, there'll be a guy waiting for you at 711 North Ardmore.
The right guy?
Oh, yeah, Tony, the right guy. You can give it to him.
Yes, Paul Reitz. In a matter of minutes, you will be dead. For as you wait calmly for what you think is a messenger with money, it is a messenger of death who approaches. The same man who tried to run you down with the truck. And now it is time to close the book. Another entry has been duly noted. And justice has been served. You see, I, fate, am but the instrument of a plan. And the trivia of life are the tools with which I work. Paul Reitz forgot his pipe. A little thing. But as a result, he overheard a conversation which led him to a decision. And he chose for evil. And then because he stopped to tie his shoelace, another little thing, the precious seconds he consumed caused him to overhear and misunderstand another conversation which led him to death. Heed well the moral, you who listen, and remember, there is a page for you in
The Diary of Fate.
The cast included Lois Andrews, Steve Brody, Herbert Litton, Jerry Hausner, Ivan Dittmars, Ray Erlenborn, and Hal Sawyer. This is a Larry Finley transcription, brought to you from Hollywood.